Well, I kind of feel we've already had a great morning. Wow, what a fantastic part of the service that was this morning. And so much of it just so suited to the message that God has laid on my heart. I find that propitious, and I'm just so honored to be here. If you're surprised to see me here, well, believe me, not near as much as I'm surprised to see me here. I'm fairly acquainted with public speaking, but I had not expected to be asked to speak, and I'm really honored and flattered that Phil would do so. I have really enjoyed Phil, and I'm sure you do too. I like his sense of humor. It's different than mine, but we still can laugh together. Mine is more the, you know, some of you are old enough to remember the Stooges. That's our family. We play every dirty trick we can on each other. Me and my two brothers. I used to have four brothers, and now I only have two more, so there's three men and one young sister. She has a tough time keeping up with the rest of us, but we love her. I moved here from Saskatoon last November, I believe it was, and I was looking for a traditional church service, which there's only one advertised that I could find on the internet, and that was St. Stephen's United Church. I'm not a United Church person, so I wasn't quite sure what they would do to me, but decided it couldn't harm me, so I came, and I enjoyed it so much, I thought, well, wow, if it's that good in the second service, what's the first one like? And so I came to the first one, and that was great too. And then I had a decision to make, and met some of the men that went to a men's Bible study. We have a Wednesday morning. Great group of guys, by the way. If you're not used to coming, I'd invite you to come. That's really terrific. And of course, a lot of them attend the first service, so next thing I knew, I was attending more first than seconds. So no, I did not abduct Phil. He really is away on legitimate church business, I think. I better get up my glasses so I can read. So I hope, if you start comparing, that you'll be gracious and forgiving this morning if I can't compare with your pastor or with Diane. She's terrific too. But this isn't a competition. I am here to bring you the word of the Lord as he has laid it upon my heart. My message this morning deals with the journey of life. Mine has been quite long, but it's not how long we've walked it, but how well we've done. My own journey started in a Mennonite family in Saskatoon, or near Saskatoon, on a farm. I met and married a wonderful girl from Stony Creek, Ontario, and it's too long a story to tell you how we got together. We have three children, four grandchildren. After our marriage, we went to Austria and did some mission work in Austria, and then worked with an evangelistic team, the JAMS team. Some of you have heard of them in Germany and in Switzerland. We had some really big, big meetings throughout Germany and Switzerland and Austria. Then later I left full-time ministry, not the ministry, but full-time ministry, and worked for an American firm as their general manager in Germany. When we returned to Canada, we made our home in the Surrey White Rock area, and both my wife and I became realtors. At the same time, I was very active as a Bible teacher, preacher, church government, both in Canada as well as abroad. I have published two books and have almost finished my third. I am working on a book about my experiences as a caregiver. The last decade, most of my time was spent helping and looking after my wife, who developed dementia and became totally helpless. She died last year on my birthday. It was a great release for her, and frankly, for me too, even though it was very, very painful. So I know a little about pain, emotional pain. After her death, I decided to move to Parksville, where my daughter lives, and I now live in Coombs. The subject of my message this morning, God's objective in our path of life, is taken from the text of the Psalms that we read, "I will show you the path of life." With all of the moving and changes in my life, it may not surprise you that I chose that topic for my message this morning. I'm very aware how different our journeys may have been or are, but bear with me this morning. I can at least lay claim to a relatively long journey, even though we don't always become wise in our old age. But I have learned some things that I want to pass on to you. If it strikes a chord, great. If not, well, jot it down to a senior citizen's vision and contemplation. And I could add, wait for next Sunday when Phil will be back. You know, there's a song that really suits me by Frank Sinatra. I don't follow him that much, but I like the song. It's called "That's Life." It applies to me on my journey. The lyrics go like this. That's life. That's what people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I'm going to change that tune when I'm back on top in June. You see the optimist? That's me. I said, that's life. And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kick stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down, because this whole world keeps turning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn, and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I fall flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's me dozens of times over. I like the thought of a path of life. Some of you may have just begun or are barely on your way, and some are well along on the path. Older ones can see a long way back. I heard someone say, well, I'm not over the hill, but I can sure see a long way from where I am. Some have a prairie-like path. Straightforward, few hills to climb, few bends in the road. Others, it's quite mountainous, sometimes different weather. There's others who walk through terrible storms. Many have seen some really exciting things, experienced real highs and deep lows. For me, the path or journey was more like a roller coaster. It certainly was not a well-trodden road. Certainly it wasn't a superhighway. There were forks in the road, and I didn't know which fork to take. And no voice from heaven, turn right or left. There were times I felt cold, wet, and beaten like a pup. There were also times when there was a steep incline in the path with breathtaking views, glorious scenery, sun was smiling on me. It was just a beautiful day. Hope blossomed, spirits soared, a time to remember. I didn't always understand that there was one who was guiding me, showing me the path of life. I want you to look at Jesus' path. Look at the events that took place. They seemed so random. We know they didn't just happen. Regardless of what your theory may be or what you subscribe to, we call it randomness or determinism, As Christians, we simply believe in God. We believe that He is omnipotent, omnipresent, He is omniscient, He is never changing. He is ultimately in control. Look at how He chose His disciples. He didn't hire a consulting firm. He just happened, let me put that in quotes, to meet them as He walked along. Imagine these humble workmen, these fishermen, these tax collectors. They became apostles, the leaders of the early church, together with Paul. Paul the Lord called later. Why later? Well, he didn't happen to meet him or run into him earlier. Jesus healed only those he happened to meet on his path of life. He didn't seek out the hospitals. Maybe there were none. He didn't seek out the leprous outcasts. He simply walked his path of life and healed those he happened to see and to meet. It seems so random. Note the man he healed at Bethesda. 5 porches of people all waiting to be healed when the water was stirred by an angel, remember? He only healed the one that he happened to notice. There were no mass healing meetings. There were no big meetings of any kind except when he fed lots of people and met them in that way, but he didn't do mass healings. Why not? Was there purpose? Oh yes, believe me, there was purpose. I have been so struck by a verse or a response of Jesus to Pilate. You will have been too, sure. Remember, Pilate said to him, "Don't you know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" And what does Jesus say to him? "You could have no power against me except it be given you from above." I have claimed that verse for me many times. Do we really see and believe that truth? Does the significance of that statement impress you as it does me? Jesus believed that nothing can touch us without the Father knowing and permitting it. That does not mean that we won't be asked to drink of the bitter cup as Christ was. Remember, God did give Pilate the power to crucify Jesus. He does at times give the enemy power over us. There's a remark that Jesus made in Luke 10:22. "All things are delivered to me of my Father." If all things that Jesus experienced were delivered to him from God, can we not expect the same? Knowing this, believing it, sure makes a difference in the way that we view events, especially negative ones that come to us on our path of life. There's wonderful ones on that path. We have what I call special divine delivery service. "All things are delivered to me of my Father." Special divine delivery service. I refer to it as my SDDS. SDDS, special divine delivery service. It's our own angelic UPS special delivery service. And I've had amazing results expecting my SDDS. I learned a technique in Austria. How do you meet new people? Well, among a lot of other practices I tried, I would go to a park, sit on a bench, calculate how long it would take for someone to walk from the opposite end of the park, and give the Lord 30 minutes or so to bring someone to me. And if someone came and sat down with me, I would have a wonderful conversation with that person. I've had remarkable experiences that way. I don't know how many I have been able to lead to the Lord, either for faith, for salvation, or for help in their time of need. But it has happened to me very many times when my wife was shopping and I would go sit on a bench. I would say, okay, Lord, send someone to me. And it has worked. It is no wonder I love the poem, Waiting. Many of you will know it, by John Burroughs. It is really my truth. Waiting for my own special divine delivery. Serene, I fold my hands and wait. That's so hard for us to do. But I wait for this divine delivery, nor care for winds, nor tide, nor sea. I rave no more against time or fate, for lo, my own shall come to me. What God has planned for me will come. I stay my haste, I make delays, for what avails this eager pace? I stand amid the eternal ways, way and path and scripture are intermixed. I stand on this path, this eternal path, and what is mine shall know my face. Asleep, awake, by night or day, my friend, the friends I seek are seeking me. No wind can drive my bark astray, nor change the tide of God's destiny. What matter if I stand alone? And I feel very lonely at times. You will understand that. I wait with joy the coming years. My heart shall reap where it has sown and garner up its fruit of tears. So the stars come nightly to the sky, the tidal wave unto the sea, nor time, nor space, nor deep, nor high, can keep my own away from me. Isn't that wonderful to be able to trust the Lord for something like that? All things are delivered to me of my Father in heaven on my journey of life. There is no reason to fear. Life has purpose. Each moment has purpose. It is His chosen path for me. There is no place for negative thoughts. Listen carefully. There is no place for it. We will have one. But there is no place really for thoughts I should have. I failed. I missed out. Or I got beat out. He gypped me. I was defrauded, victimized, mistreated. Now please understand, that may well have happened. But these were events and experiences that came delivered after the package passed through divine customs to you and to me on our path. A path governed by an omnipotent, loving, caring God, observed by the angels, and perhaps never to be understood while in the flesh. But Jesus said, in effect, nothing. No person, no event can have power against you unless allowed within the purpose of God. Now, I am aware this is easy to say today in this church, in this place. And I'm aware that many of us have pain that is physical or emotional. And so faith is sometimes hard to come by. I've been there. With an ache so intensive, I did not know how I could survive. Sometimes tears streaming down my face, not even able to pray. I could just barely hold on to God and cry out, "Where are you?" Then in the hours or days that followed, in more saner, clearer moments, I would again be able to pray, "Lord, I will to believe. I will trust. I will accept. Help my unbelief." Sometimes Those were the most precious moments. Proverbs 3:6, we all know, in all thy ways, your paths, every part of that path, every event, every experience, acknowledge him. Acknowledge his power, his authority, his presence, his will. He will direct your path. He shall guard you and keep you. Yes, he shall watch over every hair on your head. Some of us are missing a lot of them. Think about that, though. You can't lose one strand of hair without the Father knowing. Jesus talks about the sparrow, worth less than a penny, not falling without the Father knowing and caring. Release the hold you put on yourself, on people, on events, on circumstances. Enjoy the liberty of the sons of God. That's the scripture. I should add the daughters of God too. You shall be unshackled. You shall be free indeed. Second part of our text deals with the work of God on our path. You may recall. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works of that God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The work we do, our exterior life, important as that may be, and I'm not minimizing it at all, but these, when compared with the purpose of God in us, what we go through, the experiences we have on this path, the growing up, marriage, careers, raising our children, in our jobs, our careers, our businesses, even in retirement activities, all the experiences of the Christian life are simply the exterior scaffolding that surround and often cover up the great work that God is doing within us. I hope you understand that. Definition of scaffolding, a temporary structure on the outside of a building made usually of wooden planks and metal poles used to create something, used by workers while building. It's a temporary thing. While building or repairing or cleaning or whatever, they put up these scaffolding. That's what God is doing in your life and mine. He is building something inside, and for that there's the scaffolding, and that's the experiences we go through. Life's experiences are given to us. They are delivered to us, we just read. These are all part of the outer support structure, the framework, the scaffolding for what God is building inside. Every moment of stress can be seen as one more plank, I got lots of them, or item for the inner building. Some of us may have created lots of planks. We should be careful of pride or of too great an emphasis on our work. Never be discouraged with failure. Both are essential, the successes and the misses. Both are part of the scaffolding that's necessary to complete the structure within. It's a cathedral he's building, the building not made with hands that's eternal in the heavens, the hidden man of the heart. You know, Jesus and Paul use so many metaphors just to help us to understand what he's doing. There is no need ever to be envious of someone else. There is no need to fret because you have not what someone else has. It's all a facade. Maybe he or she has a nicer looking scaffold, but it is only that. And it will come down when the building is complete. I've been to the Kölner Dom, or the Cologne Theater in English, or Cologne Cathedral, rather, in Germany many, many times. I doubt I've ever been there when I saw the whole thing in its glory. It's a magnificent building for those of you who may have been there. Fabulous. Germany or Europe has fantastic buildings. But this theater, or cathedral rather, is just gorgeous. And yet, there's always scaffolding going on. They're always cleaning or rebuilding something or doing something to it, so I've never been able to get a picture without scaffolding. That's your life and mine. We'll never get a true picture until the scaffolding is gone. We tend to think that if Jesus Christ asks us to do something and we are obedient to him, he will lead us to great success. That's nonsense. You will recall when the disciples were sent out in ministry, saw phenomenal events, they were ecstatic. Jesus kind of poured cold water on their excitement when he responded, "That's not what you should be excited about, but rather be excited about your relationship to me." We should never think that our dreams of success are God's ultimate purpose for us. In fact, his purpose may be exactly the opposite. Or the events occurring in your life may be the opposite to what you had hoped and expected. Failure may well glorify God more than anything we see as success because of what it's doing inside. We focus so much on goals. God sees the process itself as the goal. So how you met and handled the challenges in your life is what God looks at, not at any end result. The situation can be so frightening, becomes a highway of opportunity to show forth the praise and the glory of God. Let me conclude with a few thoughts. God's purpose in us, for you and for me, is to trust, to have faith, to learn to depend on him and on his power. If I can stay trusting and believing while in the middle of the turmoil of life, like the death of a dream, the death of a spouse, or of a child, or divorce, or separation, or unfaithfulness, or whatever, if during that time I can remain trusting and believing, then the work of God is being accomplished in me, and he is glorified. I have enjoyed a book by a German, well-known German pastor that's well-known over there, Jürg Zink. He writes in German, I've translated, "Accept what will come to you. Sadness, sorrow, loneliness, needs, futile suffering, and the weakness of faith. That which is blurred and incomprehensible. Accept it. It sits at the table as a guest. It wishes to be hosted." So whether you judge your life to have gone well or not, to this point, it's rather academic. The question is simply, have you trusted the Lord for salvation? Are you clear in your mind about that? I think it's important. If so, can you also trust him in the events and experiences you are having on the path of life? You are the specially chosen, uniquely crafted child of God. You are given the opportunity of fulfilling the purpose and the glory of God. Have you hoped that Jesus would say to you at the end of life's journey, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? I certainly have. So without minimizing the value of work, of our jobs and careers in any way, I just want you to note what he said carefully. Well done, good and faithful servant. He did not say, well done for good and faithful service. The emphasis is on the servant. The emphasis is on your relationship to Jesus Christ and mine, not on the work we do. That will come. In another service, I may preach on the service that we have. But the message for today is the relationship that you and I have to Jesus Christ. Let me close in prayer. Lord God, to you I commit this word. May it strengthen some needy person here. May it encourage others to press on. May it give hope to those who have lost their way. May your word draw us to the one who values our love and surrender and waits to work his grace in our lives. Amen.